Recently, there was an interesting news item. Dr. Richard Dawkins, an equal opportunity atheist, that is to say that he criticizes Islam as well as Christianity, finds himself the victim of political correctness. It's kind of an interesting story if you follow the news from a Christian perspective. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest, Dr. Michael Brown. His website is AskDrBrown.org. Michael Brown, always great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Great to be with you, sir. Thank you.
Sure. So you're a columnist, Christian educator, Christian author, and recently you wrote a column on the subject of Richard Dawkins and political correctness when it comes to dealing with Islam. Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, Richard Dawkins, of course, is known not just as a famed scientist, but as a famed atheist. His book, The God Delusion, became a bestseller and stayed that way for many a month. And he's an equal opportunity offender in that regard. He bashes the Bible. He bashes the God of the Bible. He bashes Christian faith. He bashes Islam and Islamic faith. And recently, he was invited by a very liberal radio station, a progressive radio station in California, station he used to enjoy listening to when he was at Berkeley many years ago. And he was asked to give a lecture at Berkeley focusing on his most recent book, which is a science-related book. And right before the event, which was going to be taking place in just a week or two from now, right before the event, the radio station cancels out the event, and they say, listen, we were not aware of some of your broader views, and your tweets on Islam have offended people. I think, well, wait a second. Surely they know who Dawkins is. Surely they know he's not just a scientist. He's a famed atheist, and he's a God and religion mocker. Surely they know that. Surely they must know his attacks on the Christian faith and the Bible for years. But that seems to be of no concern whatsoever. The issue was that his tweets on Islam were considered offensive and hurtful, and because of that, they were going to cancel out his Berkeley speech. And Dawkins was shocked. He said he's never been deplatformed for his views before. And he says, I criticize Christianity all the time. Why is that okay? But criticism of Islam is not okay. He even tweeted out something in the days following about a gay pride march in London where there was a banner that horrifically said Jesus is gay, but the police had no problem with that. There was another banner that some ex-Muslims had, and they were marching in the gay pride parade with it, and it said Allah is gay, and the police banned that. So Dawkins is drawing attention to the double standard. It's wild.
It is wild, and, you know, I can't help but think of Thomas Jefferson writing in the early, in the late 1700s. In 1777, he wrote the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, which was passed in 1786, and he said, Almighty God has created the mind free. And he said, all attempts to force people to believe, in this instance, he was talking about Christianity, to believe in Christianity, he said religion, but he really, you know, in the Christian context, that's what he's talking about. He's talking, in fact, about the Church of England being the state church in Virginia. They are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, translation, Jesus Christ, who, being Lord both of body and mind, chose reason and not coercion as the means to propagate his faith, was in his almighty power to do. So in other words, Jesus Christ could have forced people to believe in him or not. He chose instead to allow people to make such choices themselves. Christianity leads to a freedom, even the freedom to be able to criticize Christianity. Such freedom is not found in Islamic contexts, is it?
No, it's not. The only place it's going to be found is in a radically liberal Islam that is hardly Islamic at all. If you're going to have an authentic Islam, one that's really genuine, that is in harmony with the earliest sources, with the Quran, with the life of Muhammad, with the earliest traditions associated with Muhammad, it is going to be a faith that rules by the sword. And even if it's not a faith that engages in suicide bombings and the horrors of ISIS, even if that's an extreme version of it, there's no question that it is an oppressive faith. It is a faith that believes in a theocracy, that Islam takes over. Everyone that knows Arabic knows that Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. So submission to God, you could say, well, that's what Christians preach, too, that we should submit our lives to God.
Yes,
that's true. But we don't preach that we, if we had a majority in the country, force everyone else to live by our standards, otherwise be second-class citizens.
Right.
So where Islam spreads, Jews and Christians can convert. If they don't convert, they become second-class citizens called dhimmis, and they have to pay the jizya, the tax, which can be very high, and there are other oppressive things they have to live by. For example, you couldn't build new synagogues or church buildings, and there, you couldn't have certain jobs in the society. It's very, very oppressive when it's spread around the world. On the flip side, if we had a majority Christian in America, which we've had most of our history or all of our history here, this is the faith that we live by, and this is what we advocate, but we don't force others right. to live by it. If you live as an atheist, or if you live as a Muslim, or if you live as a Jew, you don't get penalized for it with a special tax or things like that. So, again, it reminds me of a few years back when Israel launched a war on Hamas in Gaza, and what happened is that the people marching against Israel included feminists and gays and lesbians. There was a march like that right in my home city, and I thought, what are you guys doing? In Israel, you're safe. Israel is way too liberal in certain ways for me. They have gay pride marches in Israel. Feminists, you know, very powerful in Israel. You'd have no problem there. If you had a feminist march or a gay pride march in Gaza, it'd be shut down. You'd be beaten. You'd be in prison. You might even be killed.
Yeah, probably killed.
So it is so perverse when the left stands with Islam, and it's so sensitive to criticism about Islam. But go ahead and blast the Christian faith, which is the one that's going to give you liberty and freedom, and that's fine. It's amazing.
Yeah. Was Dawkins surprised?
Yes, he was very surprised and criticized them, lambasted the station for their stance, and again found it to be a double standard, a hypocritical double standard. Why be so sensitive to Islam? Why ignore my criticisms of Christianity? That's what he was saying.
Yeah. By the way, earlier you had mentioned that Dawkins bashes the message of the Bible, and that's certainly true. But it is an interesting thing, and I've noted this, I've even mentioned it in some of the columns I write, that on occasion in his book, The God Delusion, which, by the way, I thought was a well-written book. I read it word for word, and, you know, I don't agree with him at all. I don't agree with his conclusions. I don't agree with his premises and so forth. But I was delighted and shocked to find that near the end of the book, he says, oh, by the way, all my criticism of the Bible is because of I don't believe it's the Word of God. However, when you talk about the Bible as literature, you can still be an atheist and still enjoy the, you know, the Bible. And then he says, oh, look, by the way, look at all this incredible influence in our literature, a positive influence, he's saying. Shakespeare, and he quotes some scholar who said 1,300 times in the writings of William Shakespeare, there are quotes from Scripture or echoes of Scripture or scriptural phrases that come right out of the Holy Bible. And, you know, he didn't say that. I added the word holy. Anyway, but, you know, it was actually kind of a refreshing admission from an atheist that says basically, hey, even though I don't agree with the Bible being the Word of God, it's certainly wonderful literature, and we are poorer as a culture if we ignore the Bible. And and by the way, look at all these common phrases. You know, this coming Sunday I'll be teaching on the Golden Rule, which comes directly from the lips of Jesus, Matthew 7:12. That's what I'm teaching on. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And, you know, Dawkins is like, hey, this is still good, you know, even though it's not the Word of God, which is like, well, huh. Anyway, but I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, and in point of fact, when it came to the God Delusion book, the biblical scholars felt that he did a poor job of treating Scripture, that it's not his field, and philosophers felt that his arguments were weak, and others came against it. Yeah, it was powerfully and persuasively written. And I'll say this, from the outside, if you have no faith in God at all, if you believe that this is the result of human imagination, yeah, I can understand why you're critical of the God of the Bible and why you think he could be petty, or you know, he wipes out the whole world, or he's got these crazy standards no one could live by. And, you know, we read it. We see mercy. We see love. We see compassion. We see
right.
kindness. Dawkins and others read it. They see a tyrannical maniac. And I can understand their perspective from the eyes of a non-believer. I remember before I was saved, before I knew the Lord, going to synagogue with my family as a drug using kid. So I hadn't been for a better part of a year. You know, my dad wanted me to go during the high holidays, and I'm reading through the prayer book. You know, they said now turn to page such and such, and you know, read this silently, and I'm reading all these praises to God, and he's this and he's that, and I remember saying to myself as an unsaved rebel, boy, this whoever this God is, he's on some kind of an ego trip. You know, he wants all these people to say, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're beautiful. So through the eyes of a skeptic or a mocker, obviously, we're going to find great fault with the God of the Bible. When we just have the slightest glimpse of who he is, and I wrote this to a British atheist, I don't know if he ever saw what I wrote, a few years back, he had said, you know, if there was a God and he met him after death, that he'd rebuke him for this and criticize him for that, and how could you allow so much suffering, and why is there bacteria that just, you know, or bugs that just, you know, kill this?
And what did you say?
And I said, you know, the reason that wouldn't happen is because the moment you're in his presence, oh. you would melt in the presence of perfect love.
Yeah, that's right.
But you would that's encounter right. a love and a kindness and light and truth and yep. beauty beyond your wildest imagination.
Yeah, and then the holiness of God would also shut them up. It's almost like what happens to those Nazis when they open up the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, or they open up the Ark in the end of the movie. But getting back to the topic at hand, is free speech safe in a post-Christian world?
No, it's absolutely not safe in a post-Christian world, because basically those that oppose our views are going to silence our views because they have no fundamental reason to treat us with civility or respect. They have no fundamental reason to give room for people of faith or for those who dissent. So we're seeing right now the left eating its own. That's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
Be it a Dawkins. Oh, here you've got Milo Yiannopoulos. Okay, he's conservative, but he's yeah. a
pro-homosexual.
Practicing homosexual with a, you know, I believe a pretty lurid lifestyle, a pretty free lifestyle, you could say. He gets banned. You know, any opposition that is considered to come against the authoritarian views of the left or whatever the side is going to be, if you depart from gospel foundations and the view of one God and we're created in his image and why we should have freedom of thought and interaction, you're not going to have freedom.
That's
the
right.
very thing that people are trying to cast off, the very thing that people are saying, oh, well, you know, we want to be free. We don't want some God ruling over us. It's the rulership of God that brings us freedom.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Almighty God hath created the mind free. Hate speech is a tool, isn't it, that's being used a lot of times to silence those with whom the politically correct crowd disagree.
Yes, sir. The moment you take issue with something, you are a hater. You know, for example, the president bans those who identify as transgender from serving in the military, and it's for practical military reasons. That's exclusively the issue. It is for practical military reasons. And just like asthmatics can't serve, and diabetics can't serve, and men under 5 feet tall can't serve, and people with sleep apnea can't serve because you have to be fit in a certain way.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be having extra emotional or psychological problems. You can't be requiring certain daily medication to function,
right,
et cetera. All the things that would not apply to those who identify as transgender apply in this case. So it is a simple ban saying it's not the right thing for the good of the military. No, you're a hater.
Yeah,
no, you're transphobic.
Right.
The moment we differ with anything, we're branded haters. And you know what that means?
Yep.
That people can't have a rational discussion. They're unable to have it because it is basically a point argued by emotion and not by fact.
Dr. Brown, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. AskDrBrown.org for more information. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.